Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and good evening to all of our beloved listeners out there. I wanted to remind you that I love you. I think you are fabulous and beautiful. And Amy and I have had, once again, an eventful week in our adventures through this life. It's been fun and some really great things are happening. We will be interviewed on a TV show coming up soon, which is super exciting in regards to what we do here on Living and Thriving. This week, as part of my book, and Amy doesn't know this one yet, but I'm writing a chapter on imperfections. So this week I am purposefully celebrating all of my imperfections to really see what that means and are they imperfections?
They're just part of you.
It's just part of you. So this week I'm doing research and trying to figure out what imperfection means for my book. So it's very exciting. So celebrate your imperfections today because, you know what, you're really perfect anyway. So how was your week, Miss Amy?
Well, you know, my week was busy, and I did share with you a little bit about a book idea I have, which will take me a little while, and I will probably need some help from all of you out there. So if you have any stories of healthcare issues, I would love to hear them. Because that's what I'm writing a book about, is the American healthcare system. And as you know, I work in integrative medicine, so I'm not boycotting healthcare, but I would like to see it more balanced. So that's what I'm writing the book about, is how you can take charge of your own healthcare and have the healthcare that you want for you to be a balanced healthcare for yourself between alternative and allopathic medicine. I think it's very important that people realize they have
choices.
You know, choices. So that's what it's going to be about. So you can send you know, your stories to me, and I'll use them in my book. So that's all I have for today.
All right, groovy. Well, the weather is quite nice. We seem to be getting a few storms to cool down this humidity, dreadful humidity. New England's not used to weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of paint melting. As a freshly single woman who is very used to having things done for her, a little spoiled that way, I installed an air conditioner by myself without, you know,
male assistance.
Male assistance. I was very proud of myself, and my male friends did tease me quite a bit. But I did get quite a few injuries from it. So, but the battle was won, and the air conditioner is in, and it's really nice in here right now. So I wanted to remind you that we have the Spirit Lawyer on today, and Amy and I have just been chomping at the bit, so excited that it's now finally here.
Right.
He's intriguing. He also hosts the radio show, and I've had an opportunity to listen to it. He's got some great stuff. So, Anthony, are you there?
I am here. Rusty, how are you doing today?
I am very well. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing awesome.
Awesome. Awesome is great. How is the weather there in Miami? Miami.
Well, Orlando.
Oh, you're in Orlando. That's right.
I am in Orlando. It is very warm, and we're getting ready to have our daily 4 p.m. thunderstorms. So that's kind of the everyday occurrence here, which we don't mind because it gets up to about 95 during the day. So, but you guys get pretty hot too.
Actually, I was recently in Venice, Florida, the beginning of July, and it was cooler in Florida than it was up here. I was laughing. Everybody was texting me going, Rusty, it's so hot. I can't stand it. I'm like, haha, I'm in Florida and it's 80.
Well, it's killing us up here is the humidity.
Yeah,
the humidity, and I know there's a lot of humidity in Florida as well, but we're not used to that high. I mean, we get humid in the summer, but we usually have it
a couple of
August, and that's about it. But From what I understand, this is going to continue right through October.
Yep, that's the rumor. But
well, if you're not
anyways.
Used to it, it gets pretty harsh.
Hmm.
Yep. So, Anthony, do you mind telling us who you are and what you do and giving us a
sure.
little bio so that all 23,000 listeners can get a feel for how wonderful you are?
Wow, well, thank you. With that introduction, that's really all I need to hear, right?
I know. Perfect.
Well, thank you. Well, I am a family law attorney in Florida, and that's a good part of my practice is doing that, but I'm also a certified mediator, and within the last couple of years, I've been transitioning my law practice into more holistic way of resolving cases, which includes working with clients who want to resolve their cases without going to court, as well as coaching people through the divorce process, as well as after the process is over. So it's been a natural progression for me because I really enjoy working with people and letting them know that they have all the answers if they want to take some time to understand them, and it's been a great ride so far.
Very cool. So why did you decide to add spirituality to your practice? We've been preempting your show, and everybody's like, "That's an oxymoron." A lawyer who's actually spiritual, and I'm going,
and
"That's what's so
looks.
Cool about this guy."
You get these looks, like their head nods,
yeah.
and goes, "Huh?"
That doesn't make sense. I'm so confused. What does this mean?
It's contradicting itself right there.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. That's the old paradigm. Is, you know, lawyers are supposed to go in and take no prisoners and kind of make it a war. And, you know, people look at movies like War of the Roses and think
mm-hmm.
that's kind of how divorce has to be. And for me, you know, spirituality has always been in my life. I mean, ever since I was a young child. And so it was very natural for me to incorporate that. And when I practiced family law and saw how things were done usually, it didn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't resonate. I didn't feel good about practicing law that way. And I kind of went within, and the answer I got is you don't have to practice law that way. There's no reason you have to if that's not your passion. So I went with my passion and made a pact with myself that I would only work with people that are interested in resolving cases that way.
That's very interesting because we need more people like you helping people through these processes, because when you go through these processes, as you know, there is a lot of spiritual unbalancing that happens and can remain that way for a very long time. So I'm really, really intrigued about what you're doing because it definitely isn't just a legal standpoint. There's a lot of emotional issues, a lot of spiritual issues that are attacked on both sides of the fence. So I was jumping up and down waiting for this interview because, you know, this is where we're turning this. You know, everyone's turning within, which is really good, but we need more of this for people that are like-minded to know that, you know, people like you exist, and that's why we do this
sure.
show.
Well, thank you. Well, what's interesting is, you know, the normal process is people go through a divorce, and then they figure out what their life is going to be like when the divorce is over. And that's very difficult because there's a lot of changes going on. There's not a lot of people there to help guide them. And I realized that if I can work with my clients during the case to help them to go through whatever feelings they have or whatever emotions they have, as well as looking at where they're responsible for the ending of the marriage. It's not judging them, or there's a good person and a bad person, but if people can look at the role that they played in why that relationship didn't work, by the time the divorce is final, they've worked through a lot of those questions and a lot of that self-awareness, so that when they're beginning the next part of their life, they're really ready to begin that and not taking that time to figure it out then. So it's just getting people to look at these items sooner than later.
That's very cool. So let's go back to the beginning and talk about why you've chosen this path as a person, aside from, you know, utilizing it in your law practice. What does this path mean to you as a person?
Well, for me, it's probably the it's not even like a job.
<It's>, no.
I've taken it so personally. It's so rewarding for me to be able to see people have that aha moment
mm-hmm.
where, you know, I don't have to be angry at the other person. I don't, you know, I don't have to feel this. So it's a very rewarding for me to see people go through that. I've been married before, and you know, I would have liked to have approached that situation from this mindset, because it would have kind of helped my progression. I didn't. I learned a lot from it, and that from that point on, I realized that you know, I can make a difference for other people, and that experience really opened my eyes to, well, here's how not to do things.
Right.
And it's been a kind of a personal mission of mine to educate people and to get people to have a better experience.
Right, because, you know, when there's so many, because I've been divorced as well, and there were so many emotions that went up and down, and I felt very alone. We did actually do ours privately, which worked out, because there wasn't any houses or assets or anything, luckily. But, you know, there's a sense of failure. There's a sense of, you know, what am I teaching my kids to just give up when things get rough? You know, there are all these things that go through your head. Do you counsel them on those as well?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't have the background or expertise in psychology or psychiatry, mm-hmm. and I leave that for the people who do. But I really have one-on-one sessions with the people I represent, as well as even people I don't, who I'm not representing them legally, to really ask them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you want this outcome to look? If you could, if you had an Etch-a-Sketch, which we all have had when we were kids, and you
mm-hmm.
could sketch out how that looks, let's look at that. And people say, oh, it's not going to happen, it can't happen. And I said, no, let's not say it can't. Let's just play around with this and kind of look at what that might look and put our intention in that. And people then start to explore where they want to be. And once they start looking at where they want to be, then we can back up and start connecting the dots. And if they're already at Z and we're at A, well, we need to go through the process. But at least they have an idea, a vision of what they want their life to look like. And then they can start looking at what happened. Why did it get to this point? And once folks can look at without emotion their role in the marriage, it's a lot easier for them to release whatever anger they have at the other person
mm-hmm.
and start to not play the victim, which a lot of times people do. And when you can release that idea of victimhood and be empowered by, I've got a choice and I can create the life I want, it's just, the shift is just amazing.
So for you personally, you started your, when did you start your personal spiritual practice? At one
probably
point in your life, was it after your divorce?
No, I mean, I've had a spiritual practice probably since I was 13, 14 years old.
Very cool.
I knew on a certain level, you know, as much as you can know by just turning a teenager, you know, but it was always, I just had a knowing that, you know, that I was going to be okay, and it's helped me through a lot of situations, but it's continually grown as I become more aware and as I allowed myself to be open to different possibilities. I, mm-hmm. you know, when I first started practicing as an attorney, I didn't have this idea of combining, you know, a spiritual practice with law.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised that it got to that to this mm-hmm. point, because it's always been a focus of my life.
Right. Well, a lot of people, even outside of lawyers, but in, you know, like doctors, it almost seems like, because I've worked in healthcare for a long time before I went into holistic care, and it seems like it feels like you have to adhere to all of these and appear to be this certain type of person when you're in those jobs. So I really commend you for, you know, stepping outside of the box and doing what you're doing, because in order for me to step out of the box, I had to leave my job.
Right.
Because it just, you know, I tried to incorporate it too, and they just didn't see the benefit. So I ended up leaving that industry to do what I truly was called to do. But it's really great that you could still be spiritually individual and still keep, you know, doing what you felt was your purpose in life. You know, which is really great, because a lot of people don't do that. They conform to that occupational archetype, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's why we have this show, is to show people that, you know, there's another way to do things. And I tell people all the time, if it's not working for you, do something different.
Yep.
Exactly. Well, I think in this, you know, we're really entering and continue to evolve into a more aware society, and this is kind of part of that shift. And I think as time goes on, I think people are going to realize from a legal standpoint that it just doesn't make sense to go to court. And I'm an attorney and I'm saying this, but just because you're an attorney doesn't mean that that's the best way to resolve a case, especially a divorce case. And I think people are becoming more sensitized to, one, the cost that it costs, not only a financial cost, an emotional cost, and in some ways a spiritual cost, mm-hmm. to try to win at all costs. That just doesn't have the same bang that it did before, and a lot of it has to do with the economy. People can't do that, but I think people are tired of everything having to be a fight. And if the marriage didn't work and that was a fight, well, that doesn't mean that the ending of it has to, you know, has to be that way. And people, I have people calling me, and because of, that's how I promote myself and I advertise, and they're asking me questions. I mean, they're already aware that this approach is out there, and that's what gets me fired up, because 2 years ago I'm promoting this and people said, what's that all about? And now people are aware of being able to resolve their cases without having to go to court. And they're very interested in that. So now that they're more open to it, it's easier for me to explain the process, because they're already kind of halfway there.
Right. And I wish we could clone you so that you could come up here, because that would just
we need to up here.
So many of our mutual friends very, very happy, but it's very difficult.
And what intrigues me as well is where you're telling people, okay, we don't need to go to court with this. That also tells them that you are more invested in the outcome and what's going to be best for them than the mighty buck, which that
it's
impresses
unusual.
Me because
yeah.
I'm going through things with doctors right now, which I don't like to do. But, you know, I came across a doc, and all he saw was dollar signs. And I'm sitting there, and that's all I could see was dollar signs all through the room. That's all, and he didn't even examine me, you know, 15-minute appointment, and sends me on my way, $50 copayment. You know, it's really, and these are the things that need to stop happening because people are getting frustrated. They don't know where to go. They go into multiple either doctors, lawyers, whatever, you know, therapists, because they're not getting what they need from these people. And you telling, you know, examining the whole situation and saying, this is the best for you, it takes your ego out of it all, and it makes those people feel comfortable. And we need more of that.
Well, I mean, you both of you are up in the New England area. Is that Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Okay.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Okay. Well, I know Massachusetts is a very becoming very progressive in this approach that is becoming more commonly known now, and that's collaborative divorce. And that's what I'm a national spokesperson on. What that is if the husband and wife agree not to go to court, they hire attorneys and they hire a mental health specialist and a financial specialist. And without going to court, the six of us meet as a team and we resolve all the issues of the case. And we can get these folks divorced without going to court for less money and with no anger and no animosity, which helps them, and it's tremendous when you have children involved. So I know Massachusetts is going along that route. It takes a while, but that's a way for people to resolve the ending of the marriage in a much better way, and it's called collaborative divorce.
So for those of us who have our divorce and still going through stuff, but one is oppositional and very obstinate, but the other, in my particular case with my ex, he fights me about everything. The wind blows and it's a court case. Would that even work in this particular situation if one...
They have to be willing to play nicely. On board. However, and I've had this happen with my clients where we're the only ones that want to play nice, you can still get a good outcome. And I kind of explain it as we can only keep our backyard clean, okay?
Right.
We can't do anything about their yard. That's going to be their responsibility. And if they want to keep it messy and it keeps growing weeds, they can do that. But
right.
We can keep our backyard looking immaculate. We're going to have a better outcome as if we, you know, as opposed to us jumping in the fray with them. So that, you know, you can't, you know, sometimes people want to fight, but I can't tell you how many cases I've had where we were the ones that started out wanting to do the right thing, and just because that's the way the universe works, if you put the intention out there that you want an amicable, civil outcome, and you truly believe that, it some shape, fashion, or form, it turns out that way. So, and I work with people to really work on their mindset, because even though they say, well, the other person is always starting it and whatnot, when we go into a little bit deeper, there's still some resentment on my client's side that she didn't even know she had, and that was unconsciously kind of keeping
sabotaging.
That alive.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then once she was able, or he even was able to release that and say, you know what, this I can't do it this way anymore, and they were truly able to let go of that, you know, that's when great stuff happens.
Very cool. So how do you I'm going to give out the phone number here because I forgot to do that, didn't I? I'm slacking today, humpity hump day. Give us a call and ask Anthony questions. He's got quite a bit of information and is pretty darn cool. So the number here is 347-205-9443, and you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and our guest today is the spirit lawyer, Anthony Diaz, out of Orlando. Anthony, how do people reach you?
Well, I'm in a few different places. I'm on Facebook. I have my law firm page there. I also have my coaching page, which is Inspirational and Empowerment Facilitator and Coach. I'm on Twitter at I Am On Purpose, and I'm also on LinkedIn. So, and I have a website.
Oh, good. I'm on LinkedIn too. And then
LinkedIn. Yeah, it's a great way for a lot of people to connect, especially if you're a professional. My website is also easy to remember. It is divorcewithdignity.com.
Oh, that's great.
Now, are you just for the state of Florida, or?
I'm only licensed to practice in Florida, but I have gone around the country to speak and advocate what I do. Because from a coaching standpoint, I can coach anybody anywhere. And Skype is brilliant for that. Oh, it's amazing. It's almost like the person that we're right in front of each other. So it's a great tool to be able to talk to people and connect with people. So although I may not be able to handle cases outside of Florida, you know, my vision and passion is to let people know of kind of the life they can have, and it could be anywhere. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, what would we have done as coaches 10, 15 years ago? Yeah, it's amazing. I really think that's why the airlines are starting to merge and close up. It's all Skype's fault. I really do.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, that really has an impact on,
yeah,
these business meetings, exactly.
Yep.
Well, my daughter lives in Utah, and it really helped me to cut that umbilical cord because her and I are extremely close. And she was the one that would cry when she'd have to stay at her father's more than 2 days. And here she is getting on a plane to Utah. Are you serious? And I live in Maine. But Skype was a wonderful tool because I could see her. I could hear her voice, and not just over telephone, but I could see her expression. She could, you know, talk to the whole family at the same time. If she wasn't around during a special event, I'd throw up on Skype, and there she was.
Yep.
So it's really, I'm actually thinking about using that in my business as well for those that, you know, that can't make appointments or whatever. But it's really great. There's so many things happening right now. There's so much change happening very fast. And a lot of people are having a hard time spiritually, emotionally, and it's causing physical upheaval because people aren't adapting to this change as quickly as it's happening.
Yeah. So, Anthony, can you walk us through a little bit of, say, I came in to have a consult with you. What would that process be like?
Well, we'd meet for, you know, usually at least an hour. And it's just talking, you know, what's going on. And, you know, every person comes in is different. Some of them might have already been served with divorce papers. Some of them want to start the process. Some of them are changing attorneys. So what I want to do at that point is really get a temperature check of what's going on and where this person is coming from. You know, are they, do they feel like they're being victimized, or do they feel angry and they really want to, you know, give it to the other person? So I, it's important for me to gauge where they're coming from, and then I explain to them, here's what my practice is, and basically, I tell everyone that I don't take high conflict cases, and that means that, you know, if you're not interested in resolving this with as least conflict as possible, then I'm not going to be your best attorney, and I can refer you to, you know, a couple of others that can do that. And then at the same time, I explain to them why resolving this with the least amount of conflict is in their best interests. And that is really when kind of the rubber meets the road. If after understanding that they can spend less money, have less conflict, less emotion, have it take less time, and it will be better for their kids, if they're still not interested in that type of situation, then I don't think they're interested in having a good result.
Right.
You know, what people don't, what a lot of people don't understand is when you go to court, the judge is going to make a decision on how the case ends. And
yep.
They don't know you. They don't really know the case, and they're not I wouldn't say they're not interested in that, but they don't have the resources to learn everything that they need to know to make a decision that works for everybody. So you're leaving your case in the hands of someone who doesn't know the case as well as you, and you spent a lot of money to do that. To me, that just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So when I educate people, and I'm also a CPA, which I was in my first career, I'm able to look at it with them from a financial standpoint and from an emotional and, you know, less conflict standpoint. If they're interested in that type of case, that tells me that this is someone who's also interested on working on themselves, and that's when I know that this is going to be a good match, because it's not just the case that needs to get worked on and work through the legal process. You know, we have two people here, and one of them I'm going to be working with that is going to have a life and a productive life after, you know, we've worked together, and so I'm very interested in making sure that we can start looking at those things at the same time.
Now, if you were to come across a case that you didn't think would benefit from benefit from the approach, would you just tell them that or refer them to another lawyer, or would you just not approach it that way?
Well, I would tell them. I'd just be honest with them in saying, you know, after looking at how you want to resolve this case, I tell them I'm not going to be the best person that can do that, you know, and I'm honest. I say I'm not going to be able to get you the results you want, and I also tell them I don't think the result that you're looking for is actually how this case is going to get resolved, but that's up to them to, if they want to stick with that story, they're going to go ahead and do that, and I can, you know, I thank them for their time, and if they're interested, I can give them some attorneys that will have the approach that they're looking for, but unfortunately, they're still not going to be able to get the outcome they want.
Right.
Now, do you find that you see more individuals that are expecting the traditional cutthroat, nail them to the wall, angry place? That's what more people are looking for? Or do you find that people are really starting to go into this I'd rather play nicely and just get it done.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing much more of that. I mean, part of it is because my website is really geared towards people getting those types of results. So I know that if they've found me through there, that they probably already understand that that's how I do things. But I think people are really becoming more educated in that there's a better way. And it's because other people have experienced that, and word is getting around. This collaborative process is really taking hold, like in California and Texas. You know, resolving divorce without going to court is more the standard and not the exception.
Great.
And those are huge, huge populous states. And now it's kind of branching out to the rest of the country. And you know, if I have any say in the matter, I'm going to make sure that everybody I meet knows about that. And you know, I've actually I'm going to be starting to speak around the country as part of a group of other people to talk about spiritual divorce, and that's going to start in October.
Very cool.
So, and are you coming up this way?
Well, actually, there is the kickoff of this. It's called the Courage. A Course in Courage Victory Tour, and it's actually kicking off in Cape Cod the first weekend in October. I will not be able to make it because I'm presenting workshops that weekend here, but it's a tour that is focused on empowering and inspiring women, and especially those that have been affected by divorce. It's going to be mostly women speakers. I'll be part of a handful of male speakers, and my one of my talks will be on how to divorce spiritually. But they're going to be going around the country, and they have a Facebook page now. That's A Course in Courage Victory Tour is the name of the page, and we already have a book out. That explains that. So I'm very excited about that. It came out on Amazon last week, and for a day it was number one in
what was
self-help
the name of the book?
And motivation. The name of the book is The Faces Behind the Pages That Inspire.
Yeah, I'm on the Facebook page now, and that is super exciting, so I'll have to share that with all of you.
Well, I'm going
to
be referring that book out.
Yep.
It is an amazing book, and it's all authors. And you know, it's who the gal that thought of this is brilliant. She got together people who are inspiring and empowering people on Facebook and have amazing pages. And each of us wrote a chapter in the book.
Great.
There's about 30 of us, and we. The 30 of us are going to be now, in the next 2 months, going around the country and just getting the word out that whether you're male or female, you don't have to allow yourself to become victimized. You have all the answers, and it's exciting because although we all know that, you know, sometimes people just need to be reminded and people just need to be guided towards their truth. So this is an amazing process. I wish I was able to make the Cape Cod kickoff part, but I think a lot of your viewers and listeners would be interested in that.
Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about what you wrote in the book.
Well, my chapter in the book is called Taps, Nudges, and 2x4.
the cosmic 2x4? That's my best
well,
friend.
Well, yeah. It's I've had a couple of of meetings with that myself, and it was not fun. And it's instances in my life that have got me to where I am now, and explaining that. Well, the universe has its way of getting our attention to teach us lessons, and sometimes it's a little bit like a tap on the shoulder. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. The next level is a little nudge, and then that's a little bit more of a message. Many times we get it after that part, and sometimes we don't get it until we get the 2x4 against the head.
That would be me.
And that and didn't that get your attention?
Yeah.
Believe me, I've had my share of
2x4 moments.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And but you know what? What I was excited about writing the chapters, what I learned is sometimes we need to experience that. You know, it's easy to get off with just the tap, and we learn and we go on. But sometimes we need the experience of the 2x4 getting our attention and going through what we had to go through so that we can learn and maybe teach others. And that's what my chapter of the book was, that's everything that's happened in my life, I'm grateful for. I used to resent the 2x4s because it hurt so much, but it really taught me that there was something for me to learn, and now I can go out and help people to understand that there are ways that you can avoid the 2x4, and sometimes it's not such a bad thing to have that happen because of the experience that follows.
Now, and feel free to tell me that you don't want to talk about it, but do you feel that your divorce was one of those cosmic 2x4s?
Well, I mean, I'm not big on getting personal, but what I will tell you is that was, you know, a major experience in my life. And in a lot of ways, it was very healing and cleansing. And it was a way for me to get to where I am now. And I can tell you right off the bat that was an experience that had to happen, and I'm you know, immensely grateful for it, because that was probably the biggest learning experience I had. And I don't think I'd be able to have the insight that I have on things without that experience.
Right. Do you feel that you're more empathetic and a better listener because of your experience going through the divorce process yourself?
Yeah, I'm not only a better listener. I mean, I can actually, with my clients, say, you know what? I've been there, you know, and there's something about
that
connecting
connection
with people. It's, you know, I've been in that chair. I've been on the other side. Not knowing what to do and having all these feelings, and that kind of helps to it bridges the gap between attorney and client, just for that moment, so that they can understand what I'm going through and what they're going through, and that really helps people to see that I'm looking at it through the same lens that they are.
Now, when you do have to go into court, in those cases you have to go into court, do you feel like you're taken seriously or less seriously because of the approach that you're taking?
No, when I go into court, I mean, I have a game plan, and I know that what helps me is that ultimately, the judge is going to have to make a decision. I think courts like it when you don't come in and you're screaming and yelling and not being conducting yourself professionally. They like it when people come in and they're calm. And so they know that my approach is that I don't think high conflict is the best way to do it.
Right.
Sometimes it's avoidable. It's unavoidable. But you know, right now there are people that are attorneys that kind of enjoy the conflict and kind of think that that's how things are going to get resolved. They may or may not ever change their mind. But I know that I've gotten so many people coming to me afterwards and thanking me. I had a high conflict case this week that I took because it was the woman I represented was being taken advantage of by the other side, and I said, well, you know, she needs some help. And we got a result that nobody ever thought we got, and she even told me beforehand, they're not going to resolve it, they're not going to settle. And I said, just believe it. Just in your mind, the only thing I want you to do is have that sort of belief, and the outcome was able to be more favorable to her, and now
because
this is an estate and trust case. Well, because they believed, and she's estranged from her siblings, and now because of the way it turned out, you know, her siblings need her because of something that happened in the case to go after another attorney. Now there's an opportunity for some healing, and if I would have, if you would have told me that 6 months ago, I would have said, that's going to be interesting, but that's the way it's going to turn out. So that may not be the approach that's handled by everybody, but I'm not concerned about whether people think of me and how I do things. All I have to do is, at the end of the day, is think of the people that have had a good outcome and have their life changed. And to me, that's really all that matters.
Well, the reason why I ask that question is because a lot of people, they're so used to the standard lawyer perception that they may think, because you're taking this kind of approach, that it may not be as effective. But I would think that the court system would welcome it more, because they really, I walked into my divorce hearing, and they looked at my ex like, really? You know, because there were certain attributes that were there at the time that totally contradicted what he was saying. And they don't want to play that game. You know, they're there to settle this case. They're not there to be the therapist or the, you know, family counselor or whatever. They're there to
get the facts
and abide by the law and move on. And they don't like when people play games. So I would think, that's why I was interested in what your thoughts were with that, because some people may look at it and go, I don't know if he's going to be the strong enough to go in there fighting like that. They just don't have the right mindset to wrap themselves around this. I'm loving it myself. I just wish I had a few of you up here that I could refer people to. Trust me.
What I was just going to say is, I think it's becoming where it's going to have more legs to it, and the courts also love it, because if there could be less cases having to go to court, their caseload will be less. And certain cases, because they're very unique and there's some legal issues and stuff about it, certain things have to go before the court, because it's so complicated and whatnot. But those should be the cases that need to go. So the courts are very excited about this process of taking off. And what I'm, you know, working with them on is to get them to be more proactive with attorneys, to get the attorneys to understand that this is really the way to go. And you know what? If attorneys were to really look at this as better for everybody, you know, this is a better way of life for attorneys. You know, I see attorneys all the time that are stressed out.
I can imagine.
they take on the emotion from their clients because they feel like that's what their job is, and they're carrying around all, you know, everything that their clients are going through, and you know, that's not a great life to have. So I've been working also with attorneys to have them look at this a little bit differently, because they could have a better way of life. And what I've even had them do is that they want me to work with their clients coaching wise. It's still their clients, but I can help their clients to come from a better place, which is ultimately going to help the attorney settle the case. So, you know, I've been looking
That's
at
awesome.
It from that standpoint. You know, as long as the client is in a better place and is in a good place during this process, everybody wins. Everybody.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know from personal experience, at least in this area, it's very difficult to find a lawyer who doesn't want to spend your $2,500 retainer in one day. I've experienced that one, and there was absolutely no care to the case. They just wanted to make sure they called you every few minutes and charge you, you know, $190 to go to the retainer. And then there are lawyers, like my one I've experienced recently, that will take everything and throw it at the judge minus the kitchen sink just to see what's going to stick. And extremely argumentative. There's absolutely no passion, no intuition, no... they just want to, you know, be obstinate. So it would be very comforting to know that more lawyers will have more of a human side to them, you know, because honestly, I've been in and out of courts. I used to represent peers in high school. I was a peer advocate for foster care kids, kind of like a guardian ad litem, but younger. And I've seen court case after court case after court case, and it's such a it's sad, I think, because I don't think the lawyers, for the most part, or at least the perception that you get when you're sitting in a courtroom 15 cases later and 13 of them don't even know the child's name without having to look at their paperwork. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
no,
it's just a number.
Right. And you know what? It's, you know, when you were talking about, you know, the attorneys and charging money and, you know, that type of thought process, and I've seen it with attorneys, is very common, and you can identify with it from the mind, body, and spirit kind of viewpoint. I mean, that's a lack mentality. That's a fear of, well, if I don't make all my money on this case, then, you know, I'm going to run out of money. It's this feeling of every case I have to make the most that I can, because I don't know when that next case is going to come from. And that's not coming, in my mind, from a spiritual mindset, because my mindset says I'm always going to have cases. I'm going to have cases whenever I need them. They're going to be there. I'm not going to worry about having to make all this money on one case. And with that, just allows to happen, it allows those cases to come through, because I'm not coming from a fear mentality. And you know what's interesting is I have conversations all the time with attorneys, and I actually, because of my accounting background, I'm able to sit down with them and explain to them how they could be just as successful financially taking on these no-conflict collaborative cases than they would with the other cases, because they can take on much more cases, because these cases end quickly. You don't have cases lasting 3 or 4 years. And the most important part is you have happy clients. You have people who
and they
really
recommend
come out.
You.
Bingo. right there. But attorneys are not great marketers, and that's what we've been told, and there's probably something to that. But, you know, that's where the disconnect is. They just don't have faith in the fact that if they have happy clients, that they're going to go out and refer them. And it's that old commercial about the shampoo, and they'll tell three people, and they'll tell three people, and then you just keep expanding. All I can do is talk to people, and the people that are interested in changing the way that they want to do things, and I'm talking attorneys and clients, they will. And it's becoming more prevalent. You know, I see more people shifting, and because we're in this accelerated awareness and consciousness, when you were talking about things happening quickly and technology and all that, I mean, that's happening in all areas of our life. I don't know if you feel the same thing. Everything is going so much quicker. It's like the speed of light, whereas before it kind of trucked along, you know, like a donkey carrying a cart. Now it's like a supersonic. But that's because, you know, we're all evolving so quickly.
Now, do you find that this approach is not just in family law, but in other types of lawyers that handle, say, for instance, you are probably very familiar with the foreclosures in this country. Do you see that going into that realm? Because that's a really high demand right now, because people are getting screwed, lack of a better word. And it's taking a long time and a lot of money to get through those types of things.
And I think, from a personal standpoint, I think this approach works not only in any part of the law, really, in any part of our life, in keeping conflict low and resolving
things. I just wanted
to
know if you saw it filtering into other aspects of law rather than just family and divorce cases and things like that.
The other area of law that I also practice is estate and trust litigation, and that's when people argue over inheritances and probate and whatnot. That's the next best place for this type of law, because you've got this case I was telling you about the siblings and the outcome that we didn't expect would happen was in that type of case, and you're looking at a family dynamics that can have the there's an opportunity to heal a lot of family wounds by this process. And while divorce is husband and wife and children, these estate conflicts deal with blood and generations
and greed
of people and greed and when, you know, my next goal from a law standpoint is to bring this process into that arena, because now you have the ability to bring families together that have been broken because of this conflict over money. And if you can have this way of resolving the conflict, to keep it out of court, keep it, you know, within the parties, and to do it amicably, you know, you have a generational potential of keeping a family together that may have been broken up forever. Now you can save that and salvage that. So that's the next best place. In the foreclosures, the reason why I think that'll take a little bit longer, because you have banks involved. And at this point, they seem to have a different agenda, which is different than the borrower. And I'm also a foreclosure mediator, so I see this all the time in my mediations, that their motives are a little bit different.
Mediations up here are like, they call it mediations, but it doesn't actually mean anything up here so far. I've been involved in a few cases, and I think I know what you're going for, because the banks isn't going to be something you're ever going to be able to, you know, do this type of legal advice, but you can for the people that are going through that process. Because the
yes.
only thing that got me through mine was that I knew I was right, and I knew that the outcome would come eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that what was supposed to happen would happen. So, but it takes a long time, and, you know, basically drained my savings
mm-hmm.
account. So,
right.
you know, going through the process of helping that person actually spiritually accept what's going on, I think will also help. But again, like you said, it's going to be a little bit more coming in that arena. But there's so many different aspects of law out there that, but I still think it's a vital piece that's missing.
Yes.
All right. So I want to give out the phone number again. Call in, ask Anthony questions. The number here is 347-205-9443. And you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
And we have Anthony Diaz on the line, and he is the spirit lawyer. And some really, really great stuff that he's doing in this world. And I hope you guys catch it, because I'm hoping it's contagious and we get a little bit more peace and low conflict stuff going on. So, Anthony, why don't you talk to us about your radio show, which I am a happy fan to listen to.
Well, thank you. It's really started from, this concept of, it's called Inner Conflict to Outer Resolution, and it encourages people to go within to resolve any outer conflicts they have, whether it's legal or even personal. And I enjoy it every week because it really keeps me on point and on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I have other people as guests, and I know, I think Rusty is going to be on soon, which I'm excited about.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, people who are interested in inspiring and empowering people. I think it's really important to get that message out there, and I get really excited about having guests on, because to just talk about what they're doing and how their practice or their coaching or however their expertise in is really helping people, and it's
mm-hmm.
great to have them on. I enjoy because it allows me to play a little bit, because I love music, and I start my show and end my show with a different song that ties into the theme of the show. So I get excited about choosing songs and having that be part of the show. That when I was a kid, I wanted to be a DJ. So this is my way of kind of acting that out and picking, you know, songs that have a meaning to it. So I enjoy that. Many times we have a meditation during the show that I guide people through, and depending on what the topic is, I like to weave the theme of the topic into the meditation. So I enjoy doing that and having a music that's good relaxing music to do that. And then I do an affirmation towards the end of the show that again ties in with the topic of the show. So it's a playful time for me to be able to still be able to talk to people about issues that are going on and things that are good to focus them on. And most of my shows have a question that is good to talk about, and then we just spin the show off of that question. And it's fun. If I have a guest, it's great, because we have someone else to have on the show. And if I don't have a guest, it's a great time for me to to go into some other things. So it's been a really fun way to kind of connect with people.
Yeah. When did you start your show?
Started the end of last year.
Okay. Now, what inspired you to start your own radio show?
Well, I had been thinking about it for a while and looking at ways to connect with people. I had been on Facebook for a while, and that was a lot of fun to post messages and to meet people and to really connect with them in that way. And you know, was just looking for another, you know, more encompassing, another outlet, exactly, that I could do at the same time with Facebook. And Facebook is a great way to interconnect if you have a radio show, because it's a nice, the way Block Talk Radio has it, they're very good at promoting the show, and this is very good with social media. You know, it's I was looking at what other ways I can do that. And I'd always thought about radio and said, nah, I can't do that. And it's it is definitely time to prepare and get it going. But this is just another way, and you guys probably look at it that way too. It's not really work. It's just kind of, this is what we do. So
yeah.
It's just another way, to do it.
I woke up in January, I think it was January 2nd, January 1st, I just woke up and I said, I'm doing a radio show.
And
I did it.
And she told me, I went, what?
And she looked at me crazy, and I was like, yeah, I've been doing it for a couple of weeks, you want to play? You know? And now we're up to 23,000 listeners international.
That's great.
It's been crazy, just crazy, and I'm so blessed and so grateful. But
it's kind of our way of giving back, too.
It's absolutely our way to give back, and... So I think it's a very powerful outlet, and I think it's I'm impressed with how many people are really starting to reach out and become self-sufficient and more aware and more conscious about healing and growing and being more a part of life rather than what I call Autobot.
And be okay with the messy parts of your life, because, like you said before, they're a learning lesson in those, too. And I tell people that, listen, you might not see it now, right this second, but listen to what's going on, and you'll be able to look back on this and say, yeah, I did learn something from that.
Right.
And that's the important part.
Right. And it only takes one time for that to happen. And if people, you know, learn from that experience, that's something that, you know, we all take with ourselves that the next time something happens, you're like, okay, you know, I know it's not going to be the end of the world, but it's just getting people to, you know, if they're not used to hearing that or thinking that way, it's a little bit of a shift. But, you know, it's like that old saying, once you know, you can't not know. So
exactly.
It's getting people to go into that no stage, because once they're there, there's no turning back.
Yeah,
and I'm blessed to be able to see that process in my work. I do spiritual healing and aromatherapy and Reiki energy balancing, and I get to have this person come in with all of these bottled emotions, all this negative thought processes, and watch them emerge. It usually takes about 6 months, and when things start changing in their life. And I get to see that entire process, which is basically my reward, because I really, it makes me feel like I've actually made a difference in that person's life. It isn't really me per se. I've helped them along the way and to see things differently through my own experiences and my own research. So to watch that unfold, and then I get to share that with others, you know, that, you know, this does happen, and it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Well, and
absolutely,
I think,
and we're all facilitators. You know, that's, we're beacons of light that go there and kind of help people to see the light that they shine. And you know, once that happens, and like you said, it's not really anything that we do specifically, but it's walking along with people, because it's a lot easier when someone's walking next to you during on your path, that they're doing the work themselves. But sometimes they just need that, you
little
know,
nudge.
That's, some that little nudge. That's right.
Yeah, and that's how I look at it. And, you know, and I also see, not all the time, but sometimes I can see the people around them. When, and I tell people, because I know it's happened in my own life, when you start changing,
mm-hmm.
people around you start changing. Those people may leave your life, or they may stay and change themselves. But it, to me, I tell them, you know, if this person leaves your life, there's a reason for that. Because if they're not, one of my biggest mantras is if it's not productive or
if it's not serving your purpose,
and
not
serving your purpose,
yep.
purpose in a positive and productive way,
yep.
then it's okay to let go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the things, and I'm sure somebody else came up with this. I don't think I did, but what I really like to tell people, and it's exactly what you're saying, is when you change the way you look at the world changes the way it looks at you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just the way it works. And that when people understand that's a powerful
mm-hmm.
affirmation. And it just, you know, just reinforces that, you know, the life that we can create. And when we look at something a different way, then everything around us not only looks differently, but everything around us looks at us differently. Powerful.
Another way of saying it, and I say it often, is your attitude is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if you are a very positive spirit, you're going to attract more positivity in your life. And if you are not, you're going to repel.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely. And,
it's terribly
the more you look at it,
understand that.
Yeah. You know, and people who don't support your positivity, they're going to fall away by the wayside.
Oh, yes. Yeah. My garden was recently weeded after my divorce.
Yeah.
I love
and,
that.
And it needed
true.
It. Yeah, it probably
yeah.
needed it. And now
yeah.
now you have a blooming, growing garden with all the plants and flowers that support you.
Right, exactly. A couple of weeds pop up every now and then. But
yeah, and you know,
you've got to have those.
There are some relationships that still stay in your life, but you can approach them differently. And that's another thing that I like, just like what you're doing with, you're approaching the whole process of law in a different way. So at first it might be, oh, what is this? But like with me, people are like, oh, yeah, that just changing the way I think. I'm like, try it. Try
mm-hmm.
it. I dare you. I dare people all the time, every day. I dare you to try it. I said, and, you know, if it doesn't work, come back and I'll buy you lunch. You know, I've never
that's
had to buy
you
lunch
deal.
Yet.
No, you buy me lunch all the time.
Yeah, but
I guess
you already
different.
Know. I don't care. But, I mean, I have people come and tell me these stories, and that's part of what I'm going to be writing my book about is, you know, this process of change and mm-hmm. how sometimes it takes a long time and sometimes it takes a minute. You know, and everybody's different. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, your process of change is your process of change. Just because someone else's process took less time or longer time, your process is what it is. And you just have to trust that that is your process of life. But you also, with the way that you think, can have the outcome come out the way you want it to.
They
and that's
can feel, though.
And people have a really hard time accepting positive truth rather than mm-hmm. negative bullcrap. But they accept the bullcrap very
a
easily.
Show. Stop.
And that's why I said bullcrap.
Almost.
Almost.
I was just teetering. but, you know, and it amazes me how so readily that people accept that in their life and they're so you know, close-fisted to positive change and don't believe that it's going to work. And
well, that's the same thing with
yeah.
with law. You know, people are so used to, well, if there's mm-hmm. a divorce, it has to be nasty, it has to be angry. And it's
right.
just a mindset. You know, when we grew up, we were trained, you know, to not build ourselves up, to not talk about ourselves in a positive way. Nobody taught us to look in the mirror and said, man, I love you. I like the way you look. We're just not, that's not the way we were raised and our parents were raised. So now it's easier to go the other way, and people get uncomfortable when you talk to them about looking at things positively or doing affirmations for themselves. It's not comfortable, but when people do it, they like it.
But absolutely, coming from the coach's, my experience on an international level, it's very difficult to, Amy and I talk and debate about this particular subject often. I find that it's very difficult to get them to change their self-perception, their self-criticism, that little place where it's so easy to demean yourself and to hurt yourself with, you know, critical negative words. And it's very difficult to get them to step outside of that box. How do you, as in the legal world, how do you get them to just take that little tiny nudge away from that self-loathing, guilt, shame place? Last week we just did the stages of grief on the radio show. So this is a nice little tie-in.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, what I... It's so important when people, when I meet with them and we start going on the case, is for them to really be in touch with what's going on in their feelings, whatever that may be. And the more people get used to sharing that, and they can let go of it, and whether it's anger or sadness. My experience has been once they're able to talk about it, they can release it. Once they release it, it's much easier for them to be open to look at themselves a lot more positively, because they're not getting pulled back by the anger, sadness, or grief that they're feeling about the case. So once that's released and it doesn't serve them anymore, now they have a vacuum, an opening that they can fill with some positive feelings about themselves.
Yes, and I, you know, the one thing that I have a hard time with people with, one of the exercises that I tell them to do is to look in the mirror and tell them that they love themselves. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful and they're successful and they're going to have a wonderful day. That is the hardest thing to get people to do. But they can look in the mirror and say they're fat, ugly, and unproductive and never going to get anywhere in the world very easily.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to look in the mirror and say, I love you. You're perfect just the way you are. People have such a hard time with that. And they're like, and they look at me and they're like, are you kidding me? I'm like, try it. Try it.
I have a pen pal in Switzerland, and he gives me a little bit of grief. He likes to bust my chops. In a playful, fun way, not in a bad way, but, and he goes, why is it that you always start the show telling people that they're beautiful and you love them? How do you know these 23,000 people are beautiful?
And I said, everyone is.
Because I think everybody is. I think everybody is beautiful, and I love everybody. And he goes, what purpose does that serve you? And I said, it doesn't serve me.
It's not about me.
The show is about them. This is what... You know, I like to call...
And that goes to show you what society teaches people.
Well, and he was just being playful and challenging me, but...
But really, that's what's been embedded in his brain.
I thought it was interesting as a challenge, because as a coach, you know, we spend our time challenging other people and trying to get them to see their true, authentic self. Sometimes we personally don't get challenged, so it's been fun. But, you know, this...
And Rusty certainly challenges me sometimes.
It's hard not to be the coach. But, so how do you feel in regards to that? When you host your show or you go on your speaking engagements? I mean, I think mentality-wise, we're very similar that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, people, you know, who listen to the show, call into the show or listen to me speak, I mean, they're there for a reason. And mm-hmm. they're, you know, looking to change something in their life. And, you know, we've all, you know, society has embedded in us, and I call it race consciousness, and that's a consciousness that we've inherited generation over generation. It's hard to know where it started, but we mm-hmm. know when it's there. So, you know, most of us have grown up with, you know, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not successful, I'm not going to get that guy or that girl. There's always this self-effacing mentality that mm-hmm. has just gone on over generations. Our job is, or our purpose is to go out and to really tell them the truth about themselves, because that's not the truth. That's just the ego or something that's been embedded in you from some other place.
Right.
You know, the greatest thing is when I can tell somebody what their truth really is, that they're beautiful, that they're loved, mm-hmm. and that they're awesome. And no matter what anybody else tells you, this is your truth. And when you get people to look at their, to go within and to look at their inner truth, then they don't, they're not hanging their hat on either what they've been told or something that's been in their consciousness. So it's getting people to shift from the external stimuli, people telling them who they are, to really getting in touch with really who they are and who their truth is. But it's not something I think that we're born with.
Absolutely not. I think we're inundated with negativity, criticisms, and again, for those of you who listened to our show last week, you know exactly where I'm going with this. And unfortunately, it becomes hardwired over time, and unwrapping and cutting that wire can be very challenging, but we have a little bit left, so I wanted to steer the conversation in a different direction. If you have any questions for Anthony, feel free to call in. The number here is 347-205-9443. And Anthony, as well as myself, we are in the chat room waiting to hear from anybody out there that's sneaking us at work and not supposed to, but I know you have the chat room box open, so I won't tell. Give us some questions. We're talking to Anthony Diaz, Spirit Lawyer, on Living and Thriving with Rusty. So what is the one thing that you would love people to take away from today's show?
Well, I think it's really important for people to know that no matter what situation they're in, no matter what type of day they're having today, that can change in an instant, and it's all about mindset. And I urge people, and many times I challenge people, to look at their situation and look at themselves, and if there's something about it that you're not happy with, you can change that. You know, the goal is, and it'll probably maybe put us all out of business, but that people can do this on their own. There's nothing that we're not giving them power. We can't take away their power. We all have this power within us. It's just a matter of tapping into it. So I challenge everybody to know that to be their truth, and that whatever is troubling them or challenging them, that they're the only ones who have the answer, and if they accept that as the truth, that they can go within and find the answers, and that if that is still challenging, that there are resources out there like, you know, you gals that are there to help them, to guide them, and help facilitate them, but the power is still coming from them.
So can you give me an example of something that you would recommend in a coaching aspect? I mean, I'm sure it interweaves with the legal side too, just like my world, but you know, give us a little tool to take away. How would you?
Well, what I do many times is I urge people to meditate. And
I love meditating.
To go, and it's not easy for everybody. And for me, my mind is always going, and it took a long time to train it, you know, the monkey mind to stop monkeying around and to go play on a tree somewhere and to give me some quiet. But when we can meditate and go in that place and then just be still, that's the voice. And the voice you hear is really your voice. And that's really, to me, where the nectar of the fruit is, for people to be able to go and do that. And it's challenging because we're not used to it, but all it takes is 5 or 10 minutes at a time. And, people have come back and told me what a difference that makes, to be able to really have the time to be present and to be still and to just listen.
Yeah. Whenever my daughter, you know, she's 7 years old and she's like the best kid on the planet. Really, really fun kid, but sometimes she has her moments. Amy's staring at me going, what about my 4? I rent them too. But anyway, she'll have her moments, and I look at her and I said, you know what, Chloe? Mommy's taking a time out. It's mommy's time out. And I go and I take my 10 minutes and I meditate. So for me, I have fun with, you know, that thought process, especially with a lot of parents that I work with, because they don't think that their mind can quiet down enough. But if you start
out... And I know what you're saying, because it took me so long.
It took
me
forever, too.
People that, like us, that our minds are going a minute, I found that guided meditation helped me in the beginning because it made me focus on that person's words and everything, and then I was able to do it on my own. So that's what I suggest to people that have that busy, busy mind, which a lot of us do, and doing the guided meditation at first. You know, like, you can't just go to a Buddha center and dive right into their meditation. I found that out the hard way.
Yes,
you did. I mean, I always kind of meditated, but not in a real sense until I really was around people who did, and it humbled me. And then I had to step back and say, okay, I'm good with the guided for right now.
Well, you know? And that's why they call it a spiritual practice. It takes practice. It's not something that you're going to be, you know, anyone's going to be able to go and sit down and do. But you know what? That's the fun part, is that
exactly
it is practice,
right?
Because it's different every time. It's not like, oh, here I go again, the immediate meditation. Mm-hmm. Every meditation that people have is different, and that's the fun part.
Every person's meditation is different. Every moment of meditating is different, and that's so exciting. And we need to actually wrap up the show a little bit, so I want to make sure that you get your contact information out there. And I'd love to have you on again, because I've put you up on a pedestal, and I hope that we can clone one day so we can have you up here and everywhere all at once, and it'll all be better.
Well, that would be great. I would love to be to come on again, you know, this is just great stuff for us to talk about. If people want to find out more about me, they can go to my website, which is easy to remember. It's anthonyjdiaz.com. They can reach me on Facebook, on my law firm page, or my inspirational coach page. And that's the best ways to reach me, and I'm going to be putting more information about the tour that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And if they would like to purchase a copy of the book I just co-authored, they can do that on Amazon, and it's called the faces behind the pages that inspire.
Yeah, I think that's great. I cannot wait to get my hands wrapped around that book. So the divorcewithdignity.com, did you want to give that out again?
Sure, and it's actually, I misspoke, it's divorcewithdignitynow.com.
Thank you.
And that's my law firm website, and there's it's a great way to find out more about going through a divorce without having to go to court.
That's
wonderful.
Awesome.
I am so grateful that we stumbled across each other. This has really been fun, and I'm exceptionally impressed with what you do, and really having more. More human approach to being a lawyer. So it's fabulous. If I could bottle you and send you to all the lawyers around here, I'd be.
And it also gives people a different sense of going into that
process.
It's less
intimidating.
It's
absolutely less intimidating to have somebody who's just like, you know what?
This is how it is, and this is what we can do.
Yep. And you can only fight the green so much. All right,
Thank
Anthony,
you so much. I really appreciate it.
I look forward to hearing from you soon about the date of the show. And you have a great day.
You too. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
How cool was that, everybody? I know most of you listen to us at around anywhere between 2 and 3:30 in the morning. But I think that's just wonderful. I'm so
definitely
proud.
Worth staying up for.
Absolutely.
This
so
is part of the change that's happening. And to see it happening in that arena is really, really intriguing to me.
Yeah.
And believing that the change is really happening, it really is giving me goosebumps, because that's like the arena I have the hands up, like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people feel that way, and he's one of those people that going to spearhead of that process to change, which is needed.
Well, next week, guys, and especially for you late-night archivers that go into our archives and listen to the radio show, try to get on next week, because we have Amanda Deschong on.
Oh, can't wait.
She is
amazing.
Amazing. She's a psychic medium and an interfaith reverend, and she also hosts a spiritual radio show, I think, in South Carolina. She's an amazing woman, and she's just very humble and sweet, and I'm so looking forward to having her on. I've met her in person, and she...
If you ever wanted an inspiring reading, this is the time to
Yep, and
to
she's
going to
offer free medium psychic readings, so definitely feel free to make time or have your lunch break, then call in and get a quick reading. I think it'll be exciting, and her personality in general is just wonderful, mm-hmm. so... Anyway, my blessed beloveds, it's time for me to go. It's hump day, as you know, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Living and Thriving with Rusty.
And Amy, all be well.
All be well. I love you.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.